desire everyone's prayers this morning. As always, getting up into the pulpit is one of those things that I enjoy doing. Being obedient to the Lord is something I enjoy doing, but at the same time can be one of those things you don't always look forward to with the same joy that you might look forward to other things. I do take it as a serious matter to get up and stand up in front of you all. So I desire your prayers. I'd like to talk to us this morning about the law versus justice. And in our world today, it seems like we hear of so many things in the news. So many legalities going on. People arrested for crimes and it looks like they're 100% guilty. And then you hear that they got off on some technicality of the law. And then other times you hear about people that, you know, they get accused of a crime, they get convicted, and then later you find out they weren't guilty at all. There was nothing that they had done. But by the law, they were convicted. And there was a story I read in the newspaper this week that struck me. A man was involved in a fender bender with a car. He'd rear-ended it. When he had the accident, he got out. He talked to the lady in the car. And she didn't seem to be hurt too badly. And he went ahead and left. Well, she called the police after he had left. And she ended up in the hospital with a minor injury. And so the police were trying to identify this gentleman to see if they could get him to come in. Well, they finally identified through some method, I guess his sister or somebody, and they went to her house. And when they went to their house, they told her that he had been involved in a hit and run, and they left her with the impression that the lady that he had hit was in the hospital and they didn't know if she was going to live or not, that she was about to die. Now, that was not the actual case, but that's what was told to the sister. So then the sister reaches out to this man and she's trying to let him know, look, this looks like it's serious. This lady's, from far as we can tell, what we've been told, this lady's about to die. And do you know within 3 days that gentleman was so worked up over that he committed suicide? Now, the thing that surprised me was reading that article. Do you know it is legal, considered legal for a police officer to tell you something that's not true in the attempt to get more information out about a case? Have you ever considered that? That's the law. But justice is different than the law, isn't it? I think about being tried by the law. The law is often inflexible. If you're being tried by the law, you're being tried exactly by the words as they're written on the page. It tends to focus on minute details. The law says this, you did that, it matches, you're guilty. And if you really look at some of the people that get off by bending the loopholes of the law, you'll find that the law, when you're judging by the law, you're not trying to make it follow the intent of the lawmaker who wrote it. You're trying to bend it to your will. You're trying to get the law to do what you want it to do. Where if you're tried by justice, if we actually had a court system that says, let's talk about justice for a change, justice would look at the entire circumstance. If you had a man that was brought before you and he had stole from a grocery store, stole food, but you found out he stole food because he was unemployed and trying to feed his family, how would you handle that case? You know what the law says. You know what the law says he's guilty of, and you know what the punishments by the letter of the law, you know what those would be. But if you're thinking from the view of justice, how would you sentence that man? How would you handle that case? Would you look at it a little differently? If you were the one who owned the grocery store and found out that the man had robbed because he couldn't feed his family, how would you act? You could go the legal route, well, he stole from me and he owes me. Or you could go the justice route and say, you know what, he stole from me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive him of that. I am going to ask him not to do it again, to let him know that if he's hungry to come ask me, I'll try to help him out. I can give him food. There's things that we have. You know, I can go look in the dairy department for dairy products that are going to expire in a day or two that I can give him. They're still good, but I'm going to have to throw them away if they don't sell anyhow. There's things you could do. But the law versus justice. I'd like to start off looking in Matthew chapter 23 and verses 2 and 3. Actually, starting in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. One of the things that has always struck me with this verse, we hear about the Pharisees and the teachings of the Pharisees, and it almost sounds like that if you did anything the Pharisees did, you're just wrong. But when you really get to reading what Jesus wrote about the Pharisees, what Jesus was trying to point out was the Pharisees understood the law. They didn't understand the justice behind the law. They really didn't understand why is it this way. What is it that we truly need to do? The Pharisees ruled over the people with an iron hand. You didn't give exactly your 10%. You're wrong. You didn't dress exactly right. You're wrong. You didn't wash your hands in the right sequence before you ate. You're wrong. You healed a man on the Sabbath. You're wrong. Because there was no flexibility in their rules. Let's look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse, starting in verse 20. The people answered, and the people are speaking back to Jesus because he asked why were they trying to kill him. And it says, the people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. One of the things we see is a lot of people judge Jesus on the details. They didn't look at the big picture. Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. He made him whole. That should have been something of a rejoicing, but instead that was considered work. They point blank told Jesus, they can get healed every other day of the week. You don't need to heal them on Sunday. They totally didn't understand the justice behind the law. They were focused on the law. And Jesus here is calling them out on it. He goes, you do things on the Sabbath to, in your eyes, make a man worthy and acceptable to God. I healed him completely. But you're going to judge me and you're going to come after me because I've crossed your line. I would like to also now go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now these men were professing Christians. And they came down, here it says, and were trying to teach the brethren that, look, you know, we understand the law. You don't understand the law maybe as much as we do. And the law says you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. Were they right? Was that the law? The old law did say you had to be circumcised. But what I find interesting, and we're not going to turn to all these verses, but in Leviticus 26, chapter 26 and verse 41, here it is mentioned that if they, the children of Israel, would humble their uncircumcised hearts, God would remember them and remember his covenant with them. So we see all the way back in Leviticus, God is talking about another circumcision, not just of the flesh. but of the heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, they're being told, the children of Israel are being told to circumcise their heart and not be stiff-necked. Once again, calling out that there is a circumcision that God wants that is not physical. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Here God had told them that he would circumcise the people's hearts when they got to the promised land so that they could live. Jeremiah, in his preachings, he called for the people to circumcise their hearts and said that the uncircumcised in heart, even if they were circumcised in the flesh, would be punished as if they had not been circumcised. Ezekiel, he warns against the uncircumcised in heart from coming into the sanctuary. The uncircumcised in heart, because it would defile the sanctuary. That's Ezekiel in the Old Testament warning people about that. The Jews, though, were still reading the letter of the law. They had not read the full law, if you will, had not read what is the justice behind the law. What is the circumcision of the flesh about? It's a symbol. Why do we get baptized? Does baptizing you somehow magically convert you? Does getting baptized somehow do something to you, some special thing? Or is baptism us telling the Lord, Lord, I know what you have for me. I understand how you're wanting me to live. And I'm going to symbolically die to my flesh and be raised anew in you. But does that actually happen to us when we get baptized? No. But we do need to get baptized, don't we? What's the order we should get baptized in? Should we get saved, then baptized? Should we be baptized, then saved? Do you know if you read the Bible, I can point you instances where both of those things happened? Because in sometimes the sanctification of the people, the Holy Spirit, fell before they had ever been baptized. Do you know, sometimes I think we need to step back and ask ourselves, not that we should ignore the law. Jesus told the Israelites, do not ignore what the Pharisees teach. There's good there. The thing is, you have to understand what is the justice intended behind that law. Why is it taught that way? Why should it be that we get baptized? But you know, if the Lord has blessed somebody, what was it that, was it Philip that said when he ran out to the chariot and the guy said, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe Christ is the Savior, nothing. The guy said, I believe, and went and got baptized. Can you show me where he got saved? Where he kneeled down first and confessed his sins and asked the Lord to forgive him of everything. Can you show me where that occurred? Not to say we shouldn't try to follow protocol, but Philip recognized, you know what, if this man truly believes, what's really good to stop him from saying, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to show that I'm dying out to the world. I'm all in. And Philip said, you know what? If you believe, you can be baptized. And he was. And we know that it was a baptism pleasing to the Lord, because what happened to Philip? He got carried away to another place. And as far as the guy getting baptized knew, he was gone. He left praising the Lord, probably thinking he'd had an angel. You know, I've been baptized by an angel of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. I'd like to move back to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Starting in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now here we have a lawyer. And what's the lawyer doing? Well, let's do what a lawyer would do. What order do you apply the law in? Because do you know there's, when you get into a court of law, some laws have precedence over other laws? Some things that if you did this first, then this no longer applies. But if you didn't do this, then this law does apply. So this lawyer is now saying, you know, let's talk about what's the most important law. Let's get these things in order. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after durst ask him any questions. What's always struck me on this one here is the lawyers, and you know, there's multiple versions where this is talked about, but the lawyers were looking to try to set a trap. They were trying to say, okay, we're going to get him because we're going to ask him what the most important law is. But when Jesus was done, he had set out, this is the law. This is the whole purpose of man. What is the whole purpose of man? To love God first. To love him above and beyond everything else. And then after you love God, to take care of your neighbor. To love your fellow man. To look out for them. If you think about the Old Testament law, what was most of the Old Testament law about? Well, we had the sacrifices, but why would you sacrifice? Because you'd done wrong. What were the Ten Commandments about? Were the Ten Commandments just about you? Or did they actually involve a lot of your interactions with your neighbors? Thou shalt not steal. Can you steal from yourself? I mean, I guess if you have a really bad memory, you might think you're stealing from somebody and it's yours, but you can't really steal from yourself. It's yours. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. These are things that if you look at a lot of the law, the old law was about how do I treat my fellow man in the way God wants me to treat them. But now the first part of the Ten Commandments was what? I am the Lord thy God, and you will have no other gods before me. I am the supreme God, and you need to recognize that. And we see here, Jesus is saying this is the focus. When we're living our lives, you know, sometimes people might forget, but we're like police officers in the world. You might say, what do you mean we're like police officers in the world? Do you know when we're talking to people, when we're having conversations with them, that in a way we're passing judgment on them? We're setting them up to be judged one way or the other for eternity. Because if somebody asks you, why do you believe a certain way, and you go to the Bible and you say, well, this is why I believe this way, what you tell them is how they're going to look at it. And I'm going to ask you, are you telling them something that, like the gentleman I read about, would cause them to leave and be absolutely discouraged that they had done something so out of line, so contrary to the word of God, they felt there was no hope? You know, I've actually talked to a man. I spent probably 3 weeks in a row spending time with him, and he honestly believes, as far as I can tell to this day, that he has done so much evil, he is unsavable. He feels that way. I could not do anything to change his mind. But have you ever thought why he got to feeling that way? I asked him about it. He grew up Roman Catholic. Catholic Church has a lot of, if you want to call it rules, a lot of things. You do this, you do that, you follow this, and if you don't do it just right, guess what? You're not living right. And he grew up under that, and he's still under bondage to a lot of the rules that they taught him. Because he was taught the law, but not the justice and the mercy that comes with it. He wasn't taught that there's more to what the law was intended to do. The law was a taskmaster to bring us to Christ. And why did Christ come? Because people realized by the law they couldn't make it into heaven. The law didn't get anybody into heaven. The law was looking forward to Christ's death so that he could fulfill the law for everybody that had already been, plus set it up for those of us to come after so we could actually make it into heaven. The wages of sin are what? Death. Anybody in here want to raise their hand to say you haven't committed a sin? Now stop and think about it. If we're going by the law, we're all guilty of death and should die. We shouldn't make it into heaven. If you want to play by the law, that's the way the law works. But justice says Jesus came down and said, I know there's a death that's required. But how about I pay it? It'll fulfill the requirement of the law. But it will allow true justice to be served. Because then I'm going to turn around and everyone that's willing to have my blood applied to the doorpost of their heart, they'll be able to go into heaven. Those that don't, they're choosing to not. Isn't it wonderful that we have justice over the law? I want to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Here it says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." I think here with this verse, just back to what Christ said about the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were teaching the letter of the law. And Jesus said, don't follow the letter of the law the way they teach it. Don't do it that way. Listen to what they teach, but learn the spirit of it. I would challenge all of us as we go through our lives and we interact with the world around us, we're going to come up against people that don't believe like we do. And I would challenge us, as we interact with them, we may have to talk to them about biblical laws, the way they live, the way they carry themselves. But let's not ever forget the justice behind those laws. I think of the man on the cross with Jesus. What did he ever do to be worthy of heaven? He never came down off that cross and did anything for the Lord, did he? He wasn't able to get the Lord a cup of water. Wasn't able to do anything for him. He was nailed up there on the cross just like Jesus was. But what did that man do? He looked at the Savior and he said, you know what? I am here legitimately. The law is applied to me correctly. This is where I belong. It's not been applied to you correctly. And Master, when you come into your kingdom, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? Now, what had he gone to the temple and paid any sacrifice? You know, the law required a sacrifice to be forgiven, didn't it? Was that man, did he ever get his chance to get off the tree and pay the sacrifice? Jesus was the sacrifice, but he couldn't offer him, could he? But instead, that man recognized the justice that was taking place right next to the legality of his circumstances. And because he reached out for justice, he admitted the law was correct. The law is correct, folks. It's there for a purpose. But because he was able to look beyond it and see the justice of what Christ was doing, I think of the words that Jesus replied back to him with, "Today. Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Isn't that what we all want? Let's all look for justice. Y'all pray for me.